Hi there. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Christian, are you ready? Exciting things are about to happen. And I still know that a lot of you have no clue about what the end times actually mean. Most of you are probably sitting back waiting till Jesus comes, and you're just going, living day by day and thinking this is how it's going to be. And you're going to think, yeah, things are going to get kind of worse, and you're going to have your ideas on what ideas of sin you think are going to increase and get worse, and you will then point your fingers all the more. However, you know, there's a lot more to the end days than just sitting around and waiting for Jesus to return. Because, you know, this is a process that took 5,000 years to get to where we are. The first 1,000 years, Noah had to build the boat. And was the only survivor and his kids. And so they started the world over again. Well, we read there, too, that one of Noah's sons sinned. And so he became the black sheep of the family, as it were. And so, you know, these people are pretty smart. Didn't you know that? If you just play little games, you know, we all love to play these kind of games. What if? And you know, if this was... And back then, we were just practically perfect. We lived for so many years, you know, hundreds of years. Before Noah, you could live to be 1,000. And then Noah's generation, they can only get up into the couple of hundreds or so. After the flood, you know, things kind of happen in the world that change the age frame until finally we're getting to where we live to be. And we're lucky to get to 100. Well, these guys had some pretty good attributes about their physique, you know. They didn't have to worry about too much cancer. Genes setting in, you know, the DNA getting kind of messed up here and there, and so you can inherit diseases practically, or conditions, and so back then you didn't have that kind of stuff. It hadn't had enough things happen in the world. Things had to happen, you know. The flood had to come, so the environment had to change, the way the sun comes down and the rains from then on and so forth, and the exposure that we have after that flood. A lot of things, people can play around with these kind of things an awful lot. Some are pretty smart. Interesting to listen to some of them. But you see, something happened there that changed things. They still had pretty good memory, probably photographic practically. So they got this, you know, if they were in the hundreds of years old, they remember everything. How much can you learn? You know, we go to school for 12 grades, don't we, in a kindergarten there, and then we go off to college, take some tech school or something, various stuff. We get a lot of training. We can hardly remember any of it. In those days, most likely, you know, and you can, you know, lots of people that get into this pretty good, they remember things. Well, you see, they had 1,000 years to go by. Look at all the movies that we have about Noah's day, you know, that first 1,000 years. It's hardly they're able to have some kind of cow drawing the cart. In 1,000 years, when one of the very first sons of Adam and Eve could not grow anything, so he had to go make things with his hand, became an inventor. Now, right away, the first part of that 1,000 years, we got an inventor here. Isn't that interesting? So what can he do in 1,000 years with photographic memory? And people learn things. By the end of that 1,000 years, there's only Noah and his family left that was able to get in the ark and get through the flood. So that means we have a lot of people that have learned an awful lot. And Noah's family learned it too, you know. They got brains, they know things. And so here we got one of Noah's sons that sinned and covered his father's nakedness or something from the black sheep of the family. You think they just kind of were caveman-like people? You know, they're lucky they can carve another wheel, or did they take a wheel with them in the ark or something? so they could hook it to a cart and roll around, being pulled by either another person or maybe one of their donkeys. They knew a lot. And we can look into all kinds of sources in the world, and we can hear things that is pretty amazing. Either it's absolutely not true, in spite of all the information out there. You know, just like UFOs, there's lots of people that would go to their deathbed, no matter how you torture them, everything, they're going to swear no matter what they saw UFO. What are you going to do to a person that sees something? You know, I can look over here and I can see some purple flowers. And now, you don't see them anymore, see? You see them? Now you don't. So is it, because it's off camera, does that mean it doesn't exist? And if I sit there and showed you that, see? I proved it exists. Well, it's still on camera. How are you going to believe it really exists or not? You going to take my word for it? You going to believe the picture when I show it to you? Or are you going to have to come over here and look at it and smell them yourself? But what's it take to make you to believe something? There's only a couple of choices that you have. You don't believe it, or you believe it, or you think there must be something to it. And you can either figure out how to prove that there's nothing to it, or there's something to it. And there's a lot of people out there that's just doing that. You always, any kind of documentary you ever see, because we get our access a lot to documentary, or the web or something, they, you know, you see, the secret societies and the governments that are going to create one world government want to make two sides, about 50-50, pros and cons. So no matter what you have people ready to go to war almost over any kind of topic, because you always got about 50% that don't like it and 50% that like it. And finally they might go to war over it or something. And so you got people out there trying to prove it's true, and you got people out there trying to prove it's not true. So that means you can't just read one or the other. You got to do a lot of homework to find out something about what's going on. And so you read a lot about the things of the people that are proving, trying to prove it's not so. And you read a lot of things about people trying to say it's so. Some people come to Jesus because first they have gone through lots of gods, you know. They're trying to find something. They got something in their heart. They just got to find something. What is it? You know, is ESP work? You know, can we go levitate something off the ground or something? You know, what, we got 90% we're not using? Let's figure out what we could do. Is it all evolution or something? It's what a lot of faith to believe in that level evolution, boy. The more you get to learning about evolution, the more that you see how they guess at millions and millions of years. Hey, easy, we just throw in a few million years, you know, 150 million years. What's 150 million years in all time? We don't know what happened, so we'll just say it took 150 million years. Look at that, we got this whole plan, this kind of Triassic period, this Jurassic period, and it got all this kind of names for it. And then they go study the geology, you know, and they say, well, here's that piece and here's that piece. Whoa. Now we got this other piece on top of this other piece. Well, there's 150 million years missing. And they can't figure it out. And then look over there. How come they're up there? You know, we got way up above. It should not even be there. That's supposed to be 200 million years. So what's it doing up there in the 1 million year old area for? You know, so there's a lot of confusion out there. But boy, it takes faith to believe in evolution. And so you got both sides of the story. You got those that are trying to find other gods to see if they work. And then finally they may get to the point where they'll look to see about God of the Bible. Things happen in the world. And you can't just pick and choose what you want to believe. You can pick and choose what you want to believe after you, when you're looking at the topic, you've figured out some things about it. You don't need to learn too much about anything. You can just learn the things that you figure it out a little bit. And then you can learn this a little, figure it out a little bit. You know, everything kind of works. Why do people do astrology? Because it works. I mean, why are you going to go out there and do something that doesn't work? I remember in ancient times, way long, long before I got saved, somebody did a thing on me. Boy, it sure had me pegged. So how did they know that? I mean, it talks about some things that nobody could ever know. How'd they get that? Because it works. Does that mean it's good? because that means the source, environment. Well, when we get to understanding all these things, we're going to learn a lot of stuff. But you see, there is some keys that we have when we learn the Bible. We can learn that, generally speaking, that people use these other kinds of methods because they don't want to use God. And I've been on here to tell you that almost every method is of God. You know that? You know when you get your hair dryer, you plug it into the wall and you dry your hair. Well, you could take that hair dryer and put it right on your body. No, just burn it. Terrible. You could plug in another device to that same little plug, and it's electricity that's sparking like ever. You can kill somebody with it. Then you can plug another plug in, you can watch television. You can plug another plug in, do another, all the same power out there. You can plug evil and good into that socket, and that power is coming out. Holy Spirit is much more than just that power, because He's a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. You can plug into the Holy Spirit. You can use that power for evil. You can use that power for good. We can get scriptures out if you like to play games and show that, you know, God's created all this kind of stuff. God raises up the evil and everything. Just, I only give you the power. You don't only have the power because I gave it to you. That's what God says. See, Pilate, you can't kill Jesus. You can only kill him because I gave you the power to kill him. You can find out that these other things work because they're plugged into the power. And then you abusing that power, and they may not know it. Of course, you know, you plug it in, it works. I mean, if you point something with your finger and you say, raise, and it raises off the ground, you're going to get all excited about that. You say, ooh, wow, it works. And you can do some of those kinds of things, and it works. But when you understand what it's coming about, where it's coming from, and how it's being manipulated in when they give it certain names, like in that particular case, something to do with the ESP or something like that, or these other gods, then you're getting some kind of idea of some of the ways of how the world's all put together and how it's working. And how come certain things can do things and get away with it? People have started at a very early age. I think it happened with one of Noah's sons, or his Noah's son's son. It's kind of hard to think that Noah's son's son did it, because they've had something in the family that says, let's not talk about the olden days, because that's why there was a flood, you know. If we talk about the olden days, pre-flood time, you know, it's kind of going against God. All this kind of stuff going on. You know, God made the flood for a reason. Now we're out here. Let's not do those things in the olden days, before the flood. So here comes a first child born in the new time. And do you think that daddy's going to tell him about the evil that went on before? So how is that son going to learn all this remarkable information? You know, if the Masons are correct, because the Masons claim they trace their roots back to the flood in their secret societies. Not just by the name Mason, but they can unbroken line all the way back to the flood, so they claim. And they have a goal. So you'd almost have to say, daddy had to know and start the club and taught his son, or anybody willing to go against God, as it was. And so, I really strongly believe that that one son of Noah began the secret societies because he had the memory of the secrets of the olden days. He knew where the libraries are. He knew this and that. He knew all kinds of things. That's when the secret societies began. you're either going to call the Masons a liar, or you're going to have to say, maybe there's something to that. Because you see, I am portraying you something that a group of people that is extraordinarily powerful today, they're going to make a one world government. This is what they say, and they got centuries of hardcore facts behind what they've done. You can look up what they've done. You can look up their plans. You can look up their schedules. You can look up what they predicted that is going to happen. We're going to make the United States of America the new Atlantis to reestablish the days of Noah. These things are in concrete. And they're the ones that are claiming this and that, that they go back to 5,000 years. It doesn't matter if you don't want to believe them or not, but see, if you don't take a look at some of these things, then you're going to be caught by surprise. You're going to, right now, you're going to mock it. You say it's not true. You know, like you got the whole group of people that mock UFOs. You got the whole people that mock Christianity. You know, have you ever gone to Christian rooms and listened to the people that supposedly are atheists mocking Christians? It's kind of a laugh. I used to be an atheist, you know, for 27 years. I had plenty of time to know every single thing there is about atheism because I was chief atheist. No Christian can come up to me and tell me that there's a God. I knew too much. There's a problem that develops, though, in this kind of situation. If Jesus comes to you, what are you going to do? Yeah, that's where the monkey wrench comes into your atheism faith. It's when Jesus comes in. You see, when you don't see him, when you don't feel him, everything is scientific and everything, you don't even know anything like that. But then when something starts to happen, and it's Jesus, what are you going to do? Well, anyway, that's what happened to me. Jesus came to me, spent 3 years with me. It might be hard to believe. Jesus came with me. He talked with me, showed me lots of stuff and everything. And finally the day came when I was got to the point where I thought, well, you know. And if it really is a God, and he's really the truth, then I'll accept him, no condition. It was 30 days after I made that statement, as I directed it dumbly, stupidly, or whatever, to God, because I didn't believe in God. And 3 days, I was there in an altar accepting Jesus. Pretty amazing. That story is much more complex than as simple as I just stated it. Christians know something that those mockers don't know. So if you're getting upset because they're mockers, it's your problem. Because you ought to know something. You have a personal relationship with Jesus. You've gotten physically healed. You've got direct, detailed answers to prayer that you had listed out in minute detail, and you got exactly just impossible to happen the way that you wanted it to happen, and you asked God, and it happened to be the thing that God would give you, and it happened just like he said. But then you got all the other prayers that God answered that are, you know, more general, and you got so many things. You got to feel Jesus daily. You're the one that's speaking in tongues if you're Pentecostal. You're the one with the personal relationship. Who can tell you there is no God? You believe by faith. Yeah, you believe by faith, but afterwards you have Jesus in you, so you have something more solid than faith. You can't go up there and shake his hand out there, mate, as you would shake your hand of a friend of yours or something. But essentially you can do that. These Masons have done some things. They're not in missing time. Sometimes people got wind of them. And they just banned them, kicked them out, made it illegal, and all this kind of stuff. Masons are pretty good, you know. They just say, hey, okay, we got all the time there is, because our God, Lucifer, is telling us this. It doesn't matter that we don't get to see the day, because we already got a place, because Lucifer said we did, because they don't believe that Lucifer ever fell. So if you're a Mason, in the upper level, this is up there, you know, way up there above 30, you're going to believe that Lucifer never fell. So no matter what you think about Masons, Oh, good God believers. If they're up there in the 30-degree range, there's a hardcore fact, an absolute fact. They believe Lucifer never fell, and he is their God. And Lucifer is telling them what to do. Not necessarily them individuals, but other Masons along the line. They told the group way back when, they go to Greece, make all the Greek gods, make all these other kinds of things, you know, these witches like Satanism kind of worship, create those things so people will get really confused. They'll think this is kind of Satan. They won't be looking at with the Lucifer, you know, or us. Lots of things are going. They spend a lot of time. They have more scientific knowledge than you can imagine. There's, in the Jacob's Club, Jacob's Society, they hold technology that would astound you. And yet, they're keeping it from us. And they're going to use it in the last days. Great deceptions are going to come. They're not going to be magic. There's not no invisible set of demons out there going out there and talking to the various mediums that influence the various societies that get things done. It doesn't seem like anything's connected, but somehow it's really connected because the demons are working through everything. No, that's not how it's working. If that's how it's working, we can cast them out. Piece of cake. They can't do it. They would just be so messed up and confused in the demon world that you couldn't possibly, they couldn't make it happen because we're too many. Christians are too powerful. You can't cast out a demon if there's no demon. And so, Masons don't have a demon. They're not possessed. You can't rebuke somebody's free will. If they freely choose to shoot you, if they freely choose to massacre millions, there's nothing you can do. You can interfere with them a lot. You can wreak havoc with their attempt to do things. You can do a lot of things, and Christian has done a lot of things in the past of various other peoples. When there's tyrants and evil leaders, there is rising up a standard against that. But if you knew that the deception is going to come from man, purposeful, long planned out, the kind of deceptions that are going to come now is going to show a fake second coming of Jesus and a fake rapture. It's going to use the sky as a monitor, so when you look horizon to horizon, it'll be like a HD screen TV. So crystal clear, and you've seen it right up there. What are you going to do? You can hear everything. It's going to be scary stuff. And it's just not going to be Jesus appearing and say, hey, you know, I was all these gods. Now worship me as one God. No, it's not going to be that simple. That's what he's going to do. But first, they got to scare you out of your gourd, people. And so they're going to do something. You don't know what it is exactly. Some people think they're going to program the thing, have UFOs shooting around, fighting and everything, doing some very terrifying things up there in the sky. Scare you to death, man. You need somebody to help. Something's got to start happening to scare you. If you don't feel scared now, you know we're far from Jesus' return. You got to get scared, people. And you say, well, Christians aren't supposed to have fear and all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you something, you're going to know more fear than you ever thought possible. And I tell you, that's in the Bible. You better get ready, people. Things are about to happen. Your great deception's been going on for a considerable time. Modern version. 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions taking Christ out of Jesus. You're being programmed right now and conditioned so that when that deception comes that is talking about Jesus in another way, you'll be ready for it because you're conditioned through modern version Bibles. You better stick with the King James Version. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And that God rose you on the third day. Forgive me my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version Bible and get ready. The deceptions are coming. See you next week.